Hi, this is Nikki Terry, Vice President of Homeownership for Wealth Watchers Incorporated, a HUD-certified and community organization. Wealth Watchers offers free and confidential mortgage checkups to homeowners in our community. All homeowners, regardless of income and past payment history, should contact Wealth Watchers to register and complete an application. A complete application and mortgage checkup includes 1 month of pay stubs or income, 2 months of bank statements, a utility bill, your most recent mortgage statement, and your most recent tax returns. Learn about mortgage payment assistance, mortgage modifications, and additional homestead exemptions that you may be eligible for. Contact Wealth Watchers at 904-265-4736. Once again, 904-265-4736. Wealth Watchers, building wealth for future generations. Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Are You House Ready Duval USA? Today, we're talking about Juneteenth, and we hope everyone in all communities are continuing to celebrate Juneteenth. You know, it's more than 150 years after the celebrations began that Juneteenth came about, remembering the past, attempting to move forward to a brighter future. It involves an absolute equality of personal rights and the rights of property between former masters and their slaves. It's a celebration of freedom, a fight for fulfillment that we are still fighting for. And on our topic discussion for Juneteenth today, we'll be speaking with Jackie Perry, CEO of J. Perry & Associates, as we discuss Juneteenth. Welcome, Jackie, to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Nikki. It's such a privilege and an honor to be back on the show again. So thank you for having me.
Well, you know, this is a hot topic. We're right in the midst of a couple of things going on. Our fight for Black Lives Matter, our fight for equality, our fight for economic equality, and Juneteenth celebration. And this coupled with, of course, today, our president planned a presidential campaign rally in Tulsa. Tulsa being earmarked as one of the cities where injustice was prevalent, as we know the burning down of the Black Wall Street business-owned district destroyed by a white mob in a race riot almost a century ago. And as we discuss the commemorative points of Juneteenth and the positive things about it, we also need to discuss the historical content as well as the current-day content of the impact of this movement of Black Lives Matter, as well as the events that are going around the U.S. in celebration of Juneteenth. And even maybe we might even want to touch on why Juneteenth isn't a national holiday yet, but is observed in many states. So a lot to talk about in a short period of time, but we hope that our audience out there who is listening today in our studio, please join in. If you have a comment or have a question, just press #1 on your phone, and we'll release your mic and unmute you. And to get started, Jackie, with you, why do you think it took so long for Juneteenth to be recognized across the U.S. after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed by President Lincoln?
Well, I guess we can go back a little bit, Nikki, in terms of originally when the Emancipation Proclamation happened, was signed, and the slaves were free, how that news traveled. Of course, we know today that, hey, before news even happens, you know, you hear about it, right? We've got all these wonderful vehicles like Twitter and Facebook. And so we're in this age today of technology where news happens almost instantly. Well, it wasn't that way back in those days. In fact, after the emancipation happened, it would actually take years, believe it or not, for the word to spread. So back in 1865, the Union soldiers, who was led by General Granger, that time landed at Galveston, Texas, with the news that the Civil War was over, sharing that news with the enslaved, that the enslaved were now free. Well, again, that was some time after. So after this, when it happened with General Lee, when he surrendered, the Union troops didn't even arrive until June. And then, like I said, the way news traveled, it took a couple of years for that news to reach some of the slaves. And even after that period, we know that after the news came, some of them still continued to live the same way. They were not really free. And that was a problem.
So, and that is a problem, Jackie, because even though they were given the rights and they were emancipated, and even after the word got to them by the Union general having to visit that border city that bordered the Confederate States in Galveston, Texas, they still were denied that freedom by the slave masters, who just felt they were property and denied them their rights. And I guess you could say those same rights are being denied, that was denied by our ancestors, are being denied to us even to this day. Those equal obtainable rights.
And actually, Nikki, when you think about it and you reflect on historically how things have happened for us, even when you have key bills or legislation like that that passes, you think about the Civil Rights Act of the 1960s, how even after that was signed by Johnson, how long it really took for those rights and privileges in terms of housing and voting and things like that to actually materialize for many blacks, you know? So it almost seems like history repeats in those type of situations as well. But yes, it did take a while. And I think, as you mentioned, what's going on today, I think that's why we have the unrest and the kind of passion around the change that needs to happen. People don't want to wait years before things actually change. So the more, you know, there's that saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And it's almost as if when it comes to black lives, rights, privileges, we understand that spirit of racism still is prevalent in our society today, and it does impact us on many different levels, whether it be, you know, socioeconomic. We were talking earlier, mentally, spiritually, it affects us, and then it affects us too as it gets down to, you know, our communities and our neighborhoods, because all these things play out from day to day as we live our lives.
Jackie, you brought home a great point about our spiritual and mental health and the toll it takes on us and physical health in the black community to have to continuously, year after year, century after century, on our ancestors. And you wonder why there's a predominant increase in high blood pressure among the black. Is it related to our diet? Is it related? It's related to the additional diet plus the stress that has been thrust upon us throughout history, the injustices that we have to continue to overcome or just live through. And as we celebrate and commemorate Juneteenth, we have to also celebrate and commemorate the struggles of our ancestors on what they went through. And as we sometimes take our armchair and lean about, well, it's not so bad now attitude, and mm-hmm. realize that, yeah, it's still really very bad now. And I think the Black Lives Matter movement opened many of our eyes who were living day to day in a society where our lives are pretty good compared to what we thought our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents had. But we know now that because communication is where it is today, and our eyes are open wider today, we realize that we can't just shrug off, it didn't happen to me, or it's not in my community. It's everywhere. And because it is everywhere across the country, activists are who have been affiliated with Black Lives Matter movements are hosting in-person and virtual events to celebrate the history of our liberation among the African Americans in this community of United States of America and across the struggle that have been amplified to their call for not only defunding of the police, but wake up to high profile killings of African Americans and those deaths that we said was, oh, we're very sorry and we were very sad about, but we did not move into action on. I think we're finally at that pivotal point.
Yeah, and Nikki, you said something that was really key too. I think Juneteenth is good because, like you said, it's really looking at the past, remembering the past, so that we can move forward towards a future. And it reminds us, you're right, we are, as Black people, we're very strong people. We've said it before, we're very proud people. We can accomplish anything. We've come from, you know, years of being behind to being in the forefront in a lot of areas. But as a result of that, apathy and complacency, like you said, have kind of set in our community overall. And you're right. Sometimes we think because it hasn't happened to us, you know, it really isn't that real. It may not be that much of a problem. And for the other race, because it doesn't happen to them, then certainly, you know, why should they be understanding or sympathetic of it? They have to be educated as well. So I'm glad that Juneteenth gives us that opportunity to really think about it, because one key thing, as you mentioned too, the Tulsa or the Black Wall Street, when you think about the fact that, yes, so we took to the streets in many of our cities and we rioted to bring attention to things that affect us on all kinds of levels. And we've said that really we've had enough. We want change. We want action. And people look at that with disdainment, going like, how could they do that? How do they riot and loot and whatever? But going back to what you said about Tulsa, when you remember what happened to that city, that a whole town pretty much was wiped out by the other race. People, 300 people murdered, thousands of them injured, and a town just wiped away with just wiping out their hospitals, their schools, their places of business. And so those folks having to start over, and maybe one of the reasons, and of course, you know, they buried that in history for a long time. You didn't hear about that. And maybe that's why Juneteenth isn't celebrated nationally the way it should be, because, you know, maybe there's that shameful part about history that people just don't want to be known. They don't want it to be regurgitated. But it's something that we do need to remember. And I have no idea what was on the minds of the campaign people for the president or whatever who made that decision to have their rally in that same place the day before Juneteenth. I mean, what message were they thinking about sending or intending to send? None of us can even imagine that anything positive could even come out of that. So it just makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. But I understand that, we're at a place where hopefully we can move forward in a lot of areas. But I understand it took some of that to actually get the nation's attention.
And you're right on point, Jackie, when you said the nation's attention. And while looting and protesting may not be the most positive form of attention, it's the means that brings about a result. And even in celebrating Juneteenth and the message it carries, we found that in our research, National Geographic reported that many Americans, African Americans, depending on their socioeconomic and class lines, had no idea about this particular holiday. And what's happening now, the Black Lives Matter movement has brought about that awareness, that sense of pride about historical contributions and sacrifices that were made by ancestors. And as we continue, you know, to move forward in celebrating the uncelebrated. I think it's just so important that we stay focused on the truth, and because they will, the press and the conspiracy theorists, as well as the manipulators of fake news, will try to detract our people, our African American society, from the truth and what is truly, truly of value right now. And that is the, not only the Black Lives Matter movement is just not about celebrating and bringing the injustices of murder, but the injustices of murder, treatment, society, economics, health, et cetera, to the public eye.
No, you're absolutely right about that, Nikki. And as you have mentioned, you know, this struggle has continued over, you know, the centuries. And even with Martin Luther King, and for all his effort, and for other civil rights leaders that were in that struggle with him, they attempted to push the envelope when it came to having us have equality in all of those areas. And like you said, some things have changed, but there are a lot of things that still remain to be done. And so I think this platform right now, again, while we've got the nation's attention, does give us the opportunity to push toward equality in the areas that kind of have been overlooked. Like you said, you know, we've kind of made some concessions and some people are doing good, but then we can overlook, and it kind of gives room for things like what's been happening with, you know, our young people, well, young and old, you know, at the hands of the enforcement officers. So while we can't go back and just freely lynch people from a tree, we can, under the guise of an official authority, you know, take their lives in that manner. And that's wrong. And we got to be able to deal with that and see again when there really is, you know, racism. And then, like you said, not justifying, you know, riots or anything. And we're not justifying the people that do go out and commit crimes. They need to be brought to justice. But there are certainly blatant cases of injustices that do need to be dealt with, and they are systematic. And I think that's the challenge that we are moving forth to tackle, is how do we deal with the systematic injustices that exist in our system towards Black people on all fronts, again, economically and in our housing and in our educational arena, in our you know, business arena. So again, I think this just gives us the opportunity again to look forward at the future of what it could be and be willing to work. And let me say this one thing. You've mentioned Juneteenth, how, again, depending on your socioeconomic and class and where you are, maybe it's you hear about it more. But I've been hearing about Juneteenth for a number of years. And this really, Nikki, is the first year that I've really, really focused on Juneteenth and what it was. I just thought, oh, it's just something else, you know, that our people is finding the spotlight on. I don't know what it is. And so not really looking into it deeper. So hopefully, based on where we are now, we actually get a chance to understand what this was, what the history was behind it, and how significant it really is and how it can change our lives. So thank you.
I'm with you 100%, Jackie. And if we have any listeners in our studio or have any questions, just press pound one on your phone, and your mic will be open, and you can be free to comment or ask us questions on celebrating Juneteenth. Our topic for today on Are You House Ready? Duval, USA. We're going to celebrate Juneteenth and return with Without further ado after this brief commercial announcement.
Hi, this is Nikki Terry, Vice President of Homeownership for Wealth Watchers Incorporated, a HUD-certified and community organization. Wealth Watchers offers free and confidential mortgage checkups to homeowners in our community. All homeowners, regardless of income and past payment history, should contact Wealth Watchers to register and complete an application. A complete application and mortgage checkup includes 1 month of pay stubs or income, 2 months of bank statements, a utility bill, your most recent mortgage statement, and your most recent tax returns. Learn about mortgage payment assistance, mortgage modifications, and additional homestead exemptions that you may be eligible for. Contact Wealth Watchers at 904-265-4736. Once again, 904-265-4736. Wealth Watchers, building wealth for future generations.
And we're back from our brief commercial. And you're on Are You House Ready? Duval, USA. In our conversation today with Jackie Perry, CEO of J. Perry & Associates, celebrating Juneteenth, what it means to you, your family, and your community. Our segment today is Juneteenth, and as we get ready to wrap up, we do have some closing remarks from Jackie Perry, and then we'll take any questions in the studio audience. So, Jackie, your closing remarks, please.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Nikki. Again, I really do appreciate having this opportunity to be on the show today, and especially to talk about such an important topic as Juneteenth and our Black Lives Matter movement. And so one of the things that I would just like to say in closing again is that I know personally I am going to be really spending more time just educating and introducing my grandchildren to what this holiday really is all about and what it means. And so I hope that our listening audience, if you're not on the line with us today, you're listening in the future, that you'll absolutely take an opportunity when Juneteenth this year, and also when it comes around next year, even though it may not be a federal holiday, but it is an official holiday, that we'll take the time to acknowledge it and celebrate it, and to recognize that although not a federal holiday, many global companies like Twitter, Square, Nike, Lyft, they've made the day a company holiday, and especially in wake of, again, the protests and the systematic racism that was sparked by the death of George Floyd. So, yes, this is a great weekend. It's Father's Day. It's Juneteenth. We should certainly take this time to celebrate, but it's very serious. So there are lessons definitely to be learned, and we all have to be a part of the struggle right now. So doing our part to educate, make sure that people are aware, to be there with in the political arena. If we have an opportunity to have a voice, talk to our legislators, be a part of maybe those talks that are going on in your community about how things can change. You know, we can sit back and we can look and we can criticize, but if we don't get involved, then, you know, we really have no right to criticize. So get involved, make change happen, and again, celebrate Juneteenth. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Jackie. And I cannot echo your sentiments even more. Peaceful protesters and militants are chanting George Floyd's name while regurgitating the mantra of Black Lives Matter. But what they want besides justice and recompense for Floyd's family is an overhaul of the system that relegates minorities to second-class citizens. It's no accident of fate that three times as many African Americans have fallen victim to COVID-19 than our white counterparts. The U.S. Health Secretary says the Black community has a greater risk profile. And that's because in terms of obesity, diabetes, hypertension, with no mention of joblessness, poor housing, lack of health insurance, and the high level of poverty that we have been placed in systematically contributes to health. The right of our African Americans have been compromised. And for us to be hurt and angry is incontestable, but how the federal government and the governors of our states who have marked this as violence channel, that slap in the face and just paramount to what we want is to obtain a peaceful outcome. The grievances that we have suffered in the Black community, will they be addressed? Or is this just fire to the flames? It's inevitable that you mentioned about our president holding a rally on a celebration day of freedom. and some of the horrifying remarks that have been made by the White House, including when protesters were called thugs, if I am quoting that correctly. If we continue to have a them and us scenario, I believe the quote is, together is better. In closing, we say, celebrate Juneteenth, celebrate your history, and teach your history to the generation that's coming behind you so that we can continue our fight for justice, freedom, equality, and economic equality. Thank you for joining RU House Ready, Duval, USA. We'll be back on next Saturday at 1:30 for our next broadcast in our showing on our Ask the Expert. We hope you have a wonderful Father's Day to all our fathers out there. And celebrate. Thank you. See you next Saturday.